praise him. But if God's been good and you think he's worthy, let's give him all the high praise. Hallelujah. Hey. He's mighty. He's holy. Worthy. Yes. He's a good God. In the somewhere wound up in this song that they're playing, I'm hearing, do you want a revolution? I can hear Kurt Franklin saying, I can't sing that high or that low, but the punchline is, do you want a revolution? That's what that was. I'd forgotten about that. Whoop, whoop. I feel the motive force of God's kingdom in this house tonight. The visitation is a testimony, his presence and his spirit. This nature of visitation is God's hand upon this people and upon this house. And he comes, and we're going to deal with this tonight, but it was so prevalent in my thinking during our prayer and during your worship that he comes for a lot of purposes, but his primary purpose is the promise, the plan, the blessing that he might propel you, launch you into ministry so that the whole world can see his glory. Well, praise God. Yeah, he's here for you, but he's here for you so that you can be what he's called you to be. I just feel a wonderful depth and destiny. Wonderful presence of God in this house tonight. Praise God. Thankful for the two that have already received the Holy Ghost and been baptized and... The little lady that was here this morning and received the Holy Ghost, somebody in Pell City left her a card. She's a waitress. Somebody gave her a card and said, come to church. And she said, I'm looking for a Pentecostal church. I want to come to church. And she came and she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And we give out lots of cards. But fishermen go fishing a lot. They don't ever get tired of going fishing. And they don't always catch stuff. But my, it's sweet when you catch something. When you catch something, it makes all those empty coolers worth it. Praise God. Let's read tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 again. We've worked on this last Wednesday and this morning. Work on it a little bit more tonight. Wednesday night, if you're in one of the breakout groups, one of the small fellowship groups, then you want to... sit on these outside sections. If you're going to stay in the sanctuary for Wednesday night service in what will now be a small group in here, you want to sit in these two main sections so that we can consolidate ourselves. And it's nothing worse than having 400 empty seats between you. So let's just move over into this area, and we'll have good church all over the house and in the classes and in the home meetings. And God's going to do a good work. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 19. To wit, or know this, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Everyone say, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If you love his word, be seated, give him praise and thanks. Lift up your voice. Thank him for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God. We worship you. We lift you up, O God. We thank you for the privilege of handling your word. Praise God. Now, concerning Wednesday night, it's a lot of change, but change is inevitable. Change is going to come whether you want it to or not. And the best position you can be in is a preemptive or proactive position regarding change. And so we want to position ourselves for change that is revival, for growth that is the plan of God. There is no end to the increase of his government and his peace. It's the plan of God to increase and his body to grow. And so as that happens, we need to develop more forums for small group fellowship. And so we're on our way. We're working on that. And you be in prayer for it. And we'll see what God will do. And everyone say, praise the Lord. In Romans 11 and 15, Paul writes to the church and says, Israel's calling was to be the light of the world. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells the church that is yet to be born, you are the light of the world. He said of himself, I am the light of the world. But it is God's plan and purpose to have a medium or a conduit by which heaven can be made manifest in the earth. And when he's speaking about light, he's talking about it in terms that David would have used. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's talking about it in terms of revelatory light. The end of all biblical revelation being the knowledge of the mighty God in Christ. Know this, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, God told Israel, I've called you to be a nation of kings and priests. He called Israel to be not just people following a priest or having within their midst a priest, but it was his desire to have all of Israel as a priesthood unto the whole world. Or if you would, Israel as mediator between God and the plan of God for all the people of the world. They weren't supposed to follow after the Philistines. They weren't supposed to emulate the Canaanites. They were supposed to be the reflection of God to all those heathen people around them. That has been the plan of God. And in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we understand and we hear by the voice of the apostle that you are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And so we see this constancy through the word of God, that God wants his people, his covenant people, to be light and to be a priesthood, a mediator between lost mankind and the plan of God. So then God has a universal plan of promise and blessing. And we're going to investigate this just a little bit tonight. But as we move into a new year, it is absolutely imperative that we hear the word of God and that we not settle down into this American culture that is so full of ease and so full of promise and plenty. Larry Booker stood in this pulpit and preached to you that America is one of the most dangerous places to try to live for God. And he recounted how that they knew third world people that moved in to California. And when they got to America, they forgot their apostolic experience because there was so much to do, so much work to do, so much money to be made, so many things to take care of, and they forgot about God. It is so very easy, American church, for us to become the church of Laodicea. I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And it takes a shaking or a shocking experience to cause you to pray. But I believe it is possible. It is the will of God first for you to walk in the blessing, and I believe it is the will of God for you to be a blessing. And God never willed anything that wasn't possible. So then it is possible to be blessed of God and be a blessing to everyone around you. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so we don't just sit here and consume and walk as though we were carnal people, but we use the blessing of God to bring forward the plan of God and to serve him. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Everybody said, I will bless you. Tell your neighbor, God's will is to bless you. And we want you to be blessed, and God wants you to be blessed, but don't get hung up in the charismatic claptrap of that's all that this is about. You're going to get your blessing. I want you to know if God gives you something, he gives it to you as a messenger, as a courier, as a conduit, as a blessing to someone else. And if that is not your mindset, you're not firmly established in the calling of God. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, he's talking to Abraham, but he's talking to you tonight. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because Abraham's the beginning of Israel and Israel's the birthplace of the Christ. And the Christ is going to be a blessing to everybody, but they are also the carriers of the covenant experience. In Genesis 18 and in verse 18, we find a reiteration at the point of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is what God says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and he's only one man, but God's going to make him a great and a mighty nation. You know God can do anything with you. I've come to tell you, do you know God can do anything with you? Don't let life, don't let people, don't let past experience exert an influence, a capping influence or a restrictive influence in your life. But look up and see what God is able to do. And he said, I'm going to make him a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. It is the will of God to use his people to bless the whole world. God has a global vision. God has a universal calling. It's not about a little handful of people, but God died for the whole world, and he's not going to be satisfied if we don't go from one end of the world up to the other in proclaiming the gospel. He tells them in the commission, go ye therefore into all the world. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He told them in Acts, let it start in Jerusalem and then in Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. God has a global vision. If we are the people of God, we have a global vision. Genesis 22 and beginning in verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy enemies shall possess the, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so it's the plan of God for his progeny, or for that springs forth for him, to take the gates of the enemies. It is the plan of God way back here in Genesis, which is the beginning of everything, the definer and the clarifier and the understanding of everything that follows after. We're going to find that in the book of Genesis. He said, I'm going to bless you. Your children, your offspring, your descendants are going to take the gates of your enemies. And then in that 18th verse, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I understand that this is redundant, but when God begins to tell you something over and over and over again, you really need to begin to listen to him. Genesis chapter 26, and this is talking to Isaac now, and he's the offspring, the immediate offspring of Abraham. And to Isaac, chapter 26 and verse 4, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. And you see this Abrahamic pronouncement, this promise, this blessing. Now it's coming down from Abraham, and now it's passed on. And there is this generational transfer that's taking place. We're a long way from there, but we are still by covenant in line of all of this scriptural transfer. He says, and will give to thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And then down in verse 12 and 13, there's a famine in the land. And Isaac is the only one of the patriarchs that does not go down into Egypt. And he stays in the place that God's called him to be. Verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. I want you to know that there is a blessing of God in the natural. But when you hear the word blessing, you should always think in the primary sense of the spiritual. When you think of God increasing you, you ought to always think in terms of the gifts and the callings and the blessings of God. Not in turn. There always will be good things that take place along the way. But the journey is about that which is in the spirit. Somebody say praise God. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 14. And this is Jacob's ladder. And thy seed, this is to Jacob, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know what we're going to do with these small group fellowships? We're going to surround this city. We already do in terms of where people are living that come to this church. But we're going to surround this city with points of light and places of fellowship. And I don't know what's going to happen to them, but I do know this, that as they grow, they're not going to divide. They're going to multiply. Because that's what cellular health is all about. It's about multiplying. And as we multiply, I don't know what's going to happen with these groups, but it may well be that they turn into daughter works. And if they turn into daughter works, then they're going to be preaching points. And I'm just thinking a little bit ahead right here, because it's the nature of God to bless, and it's the nature of the covenant people to grow and to increase, and to increase exceedingly, and to be a blessing to all people. Now, I want you to know, I'm glad for what God's doing in this house, but what God's doing in this house is not enough for this city. There's a lot of this city that doesn't even know that we're here, but if they won't come here, we're going to go there. You say, well, we can't surround a city of a million with a few little home groups. Let me tell you a story about a man named Gideon and a group of 300 that surrounded their enemy. And when they held up the light and when they sounded out for the kingdom. Tell me what God can't do. I want to tell you what God has promised to do. God, I'm glad for the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Let's give him a little bit of a shout. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to Jacob, he makes the same promise. Thy seed is going to spread and increase, and in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. And I'm with you. And I will keep you in all places, wherever you go, and bring you again to this land. I will not leave you until I have done. The New Testament writer says he will work in you both to will and to do. If you'll comply, if you'll yield to God, if you'll say yes to God, he'll give you the desire of God in your heart. He'll work in you to will. And then he'll work in you to do. He'll put the motive force of the kingdom of God down inside of you. And you will want to do the biblical mandate. And you will do the biblical mandate. Your part in this is to draw close and to say yes. So all you got to do is draw close and say yes. You may not think you're able. You may not think you're anybody. You may not think you have any power. Well, you're right on all three counts. But God is able. And God is able in you. And when he shows up at your life, he's going to say the same thing he said to Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor. He's not going to call you what you look like. And he's not going to call you by what you've been or what you've done. He's going to call you by what God sees in you. Well, praise God. Touch somebody by you and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Now, this promise of God is involved. It's embedded in the blessing of God. This idea of the blessing and the promise comes at you 88 times in the book of Genesis alone. I love Brother Wilson, and I love what he says. He says, it is the nature of God to bless. Love always seeks a subject upon which to bestow the blessing. God's going to bless somebody. God's going to use somebody. There's going to be revival. God's going to breathe blessing on somebody. My God, is there anybody in the house that just said, if he's going to do it, I'm here. I mean, people get in line the day before to get a new iPhone. People get in line the day before to get a new iPad. I want to get in line to be blessed of God. I want what God has. Mighty God, when it's time to pray, I'm going to be praying. When it's time to worship, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be at the house of God with expectation every time the doors are open. Because I'm expecting the blessing of God, but I'm not singing the song like the shallow, carnal Christianity that we find out outside. We're looking for a blessing, all right, but it's a blessing of the covenant. It is the plan of God, and it's God wanting to use you to be light to someone else. Anybody love being used of God? Anybody love being the light, being the salt? If you're struggling with holiness, you don't know what I'm talking about, because you got one foot in Philistia and you want to be a Philistine. And you want to go with them and you want to look like them and you want to be like them. And you don't have any clue as to what God wants you to do. God wants you to come out of that altogether. He wants to make you over again. And he wants you to be a light to them. You can't be a light to them if you live like them. Well, praise God. So all of that is just rudimentary to get you to the place of mission. Praise God. God has a chosen methodology, the promise and the blessing. It's carried by human conduit. You're called to be that because you're in the covenant of God. Praise God. He wants you to carry it, and he wants this church to carry it. And as we see it with Abraham and through the patriarchs and on down, he wants it to be to an ever-increasing sphere of humanity. He wants more and more people to be touched. There is no discharge in this war. There is no end to this. I know the flesh is insufferable in its appetite, and I know the world is insufferable in its appetite, and I know hell has enlarged itself. But let me tell you something. There is a great and a competing voice and force in this earth, and it is the hunger of God for souls. I'm not satisfied that we had a couple get the Holy Ghost today. Why to have 20 get the Holy Ghost in the first week of the new year? My God, there's people all over this city. The obituaries are going to be full tomorrow. God's called us to be the conduit, always reaching outside. This is a pervasive theme throughout his word. Israel is there, but he's reaching and he secures Rahab, a little Canaanite woman. And then he reaches, and in the middle of backsliders, he plucks a Ruth out. And Rahab and Ruth become a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And they're not Jewish, but they come into Israel. And of all the lepers that ever were in the Old Testament, the only one that gets healed is a Syrian general by the name of Naaman. But God's always reaching and God's always ready. And when he finds a hungry heart, he's got somebody that's going to touch him. And the church may be like Jonah, maybe a little recalcitrant or a little bit resistant to go to a place like Nineveh. Maybe some places in this city, some people that you know that you don't think God can have mercy for. But I'll tell you what, if they respond like Nineveh responded, God will pour out a revival that will shock you to your boot heels. I don't want to be like Jonah. When God says go, I want to be ready to go. Praise God. Sends a prophet to the widow of Zarephath, which is outside. He goes in the days of his incarnation to Gadara and delivers a demoniac there on the shores of Gadara, and that man becomes an evangelist. And later on, there's great revival in the Decapolis, or the 10 cities of the Greeks that are there on that side of the lake. And I've got a feeling that our friend the demoniac was the torch, was the kindling for that great revival. I want you to understand, God's always looking out there for somebody else. During our prayer time, I told you, I believe there's a Larry Booker in this city. I believe there's some long-legged freak that's going to sleep tonight hugging a big old Bible up to his chest, and he doesn't doesn't know at all how to live for God or how to reach God, but he wants God. Do you know, Booker tells me that he almost got the Holy Ghost one night. He was praying and just talking to God, and he felt the presence of God, and he started shaking, and his jaw started trembling, and he just pulled the covers up and shut up. Because he was afraid of what in the world that was that had come into his room. But God was already reaching for him. And God was already deep. I believe there's a Gary Ellis in this city. Gary Ellis walked into a charismatic church in his hometown. And in the middle of the sermon, he stood up and said, "Hello, my name is Gary Ellis, and I want to be saved." And he's had a proactive and a responsive approach to God ever since then. He got the Holy Ghost there. But God gave him the full message of holiness without an apostolic connection at all. God breathed into him, but he was wide open and he was hungry for God. There's a Gary Ellis in this city. I believe there's a Tom Bracken and a John Wolfram in this city, two Navy SEALs that came to live for God, found a little clipping in the newspaper. John Wolfram did, and had it on his desk, and somebody cleaned up their room, and he came home and he was hungry for God. He was about to blow his brains out on the streets of Saigon, but God told him, "I've got something for you. If you'll hold off on this, I'm gonna help you." He went back to the States. He started looking for God. He looked everywhere for God. He found this little clipping about a revival, put it on his desk. Somebody threw out the trash and threw that with it. He was out in the alley in the dumpster, cleaning out the dumpster, going through all the trash, and he finds this little tiny clipping out of the newspaper, and he goes, and before it's over, six or seven of those Navy SEALs had received the Holy Ghost and been baptized. Two of them are missionaries to this day. Well, praise God. I want you to know there are hungry people in every city. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you they don't want it. They're not interested. They love all that. You're not able. Look how weird you are. Whatever the lie is, you need to get a hold of the Word of God. I am blessed to be a blessing. That is the will and the purpose of God. Somebody say amen. In the middle of segregated and hostile Israel, he sits down with a Samaritan woman at the well. He heals a Samaritan leper who doesn't bother to go back to the temple because he's not wired that way. He heals the child of a Syrophoenician woman after having told her, "Lady, it's not fit for me to give the children's bread to dogs." Insulted her to her face and in front of others, and she would not go away. She said, "Yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from off the master's table." That lady is living in this city. That lady is in this city. She's hungry for God right now. She's desperate for God. Somebody that you work with, somebody that you live near, they're looking for God right now. I've got to come up. The devil wants to distract you. Life wants to compress your life down to just going and doing and working and earning and paying bills and all of that. So you never look up and you never notice them. Never notice them in the line at the store. You never notice them in the job. You never notice them when you have trouble in your life and trouble brings a detour and you've got to go get something fixed or something's upset you and you've got to be down at the doctor's office or you got to detour in your day and it hacks you off and it's unpleasant, and little do you know that God's ordering your path. I mean, you prayed that, didn't you? Didn't he say it in his word that he would direct your path and order your steps? And here he's doing it, and you're so bound up by the circumstance and by the moment, you'd never look up to see where the hungry heart is that God has directed you to. But you need to get a hold of this tonight. I am blessed to be a blessing. It is the purpose and the plan of God. And they're all around us. They're all around us. And they're hungry. And if we as a people, if we as a church, just touch everybody we meet every day. Everybody we meet every day. Tracts, cards. We got a whole room full of tracts out there in that resource room. I've got a big box full of thousands of more tracts. As soon as you use them, we'll put them back up again. We buy cards by the thousands. Get them. Give them out. You can't give out too many of those cards. Don't worry. Well, I may waste it. You're not going to waste it. Give it out. There's a big old church in New Orleans, Louisiana tonight because a drunk named Danny Brown was stumbling through a back alley in New Orleans and found a tract in a gutter that whoever got it didn't want it and laughed at it and crumbled it up and threw it down. But Danny Brown read it and it gave him hope, and he went back to Dergenois Street and got the Holy Ghost under Brother John Cupid, Brother Rome's home church. And little after that, he became so anointed that he was being used all over the district, and he got down and began to build a church, and the daughter church became larger than the mama church. And it all started with a tract that somebody gave out. You know, the one you give it to may not want it, but you never know where it'll go, where it'll float, who'll find it, where. You gotta be used of God. That's your calling. I don't know how to be used of God. Well, just do what you know. He told Moses, just use what's in your hand, man. If all you got's a stick, hold the stick out over the sea and see what God will do. If all you've got is a little bit, you may not know everything, but turn yourself loose to be used of God. My God, somebody just shout a little bit right now. Just give God a little bit of praise right now. God, we want to be used. God, we want revival. God, we want to see it increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is extremely solid theological footing. This is something, we're not nearly doing an exhaustive study of this tonight, but we are right in the heartland of God's overarching plan, and we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, way back then, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And the last verse in the chapter, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are the seed of Abraham, and you are called of God. You are blessed of God. It is God's will and God's purpose to bless you, that you be a blessing. Now, let's look at, Brother Matt, let's look at Psalm 67. Praise God. I love what God is doing. Oh, I can hear that now. Do you want a revolution? Do you? I can hear that. See, you can't hear it. It's subsonic. I'm so low that you can't hear it. Psalm 67. Everyone say, God be merciful to us and bless us. Now, I don't want to be blessed because I'm not worthy. Well, I don't know about your worthiness, but you are stupid. Because you're standing in direct opposition to the word of God. Because God has said it's his purpose and his plan to bless you. And you can't be worth anything to anyone else walking outside the blessing of God. So get over whatever it is that's choking that down. And everybody comes from somewhere, and everybody's got their story, and everybody's got their background, and everybody's had their wars, and everybody's had their traumas, and you're not special. You're not special to the degree that you're an exception from the word of God. No one is accepted from the word of God. So let's not even have that conversation. Everybody say, bless us. How many of you know it's the will of God to bless you? Praise God. That's a terrible response. How many of you know and believe it's the will of God to bless you? How many of you want to be blessed of God? If you say, I don't want to be blessed of God, you're saying, I don't want to be a part of the plan of God. and say, cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That just means think about it. That thy way may be known on the earth. Bless us so that what? So that his way may be known upon the earth. That's how it works. This is the overarching plan of God, to bless his people that his way may be known upon the earth. Thy saving health among the nations. Only God can help what's wrong with our world. I know there are a lot of good-hearted people that are trying to innovate and invent and to change things and to change policies and to change technologies. But what is wrong with man won't be helped by anything that comes out of this human circle. What is wrong with man is going to come out of the heavens, or it's not going to help them at all. What is wrong with man is going to be helped by what comes out of the heavens. Well, praise God. So bless us, O God, that thy way may be known upon the earth. And verse 3, when that happens, when we're blessed and when we're blessing others, let thy people praise thee, O God. Let all thy people praise thee. Let's just practice that right now for the blessing of God, for people hearing the word of God. Amen, 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 amen. Let all the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee, O God. And when they hear the word of God, then verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. They don't have much joy today. There's wars and rumors of wars, and there's trouble on every hand. But let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. This is the refrain. Oh, let all the people praise thee. And then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. And the circle begins again. God blesses his people, and the heathen hear about it, and they are empowered and converted and made into the image of God. And then all the people praise, and all the nations sing, and then the earth yields her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. I want to suggest to you that whatever dream you have, whatever desire you have in your heart, the quickest way to get your heart and your desire and your dream fulfilled is to attach your dream to God's dream, to attach what you do to what God is doing. You say, well, it looks totally unrelated. I need something else. I need a husband. I need a wife. I need a job. If you will attach yourself to the plan of God, I'm telling you, there is nothing in your life that won't be improved dramatically by more exposure and closer proximity to the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. So in Psalm 67, we see the universal plan of God begins with Abraham, and blessing is the beginning of mission. And so blessing and mission are tied together, and they are, if you would, intention. They depend one upon the other. You want to be blessed of God so you can be effective in mission. But if you're not involved in mission, there's no need in God blessing you. He's not going to do it so that you can just consume it upon yourself. That's not the plan of God. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be priests. We're blessed to be the people that stand between. As Aaron stood between God and the people, if Moses stood between God and the people, so you stand between God and the people of your city, the people of your neighborhood. Our identity as a people of God is dependent on our involvement in mission. You cannot be the people of God in a full sense, in a biblical sense, without being involved in mission. Well, praise God. Everybody needs a job. Everybody needs a mission. Everybody needs to witness. Everybody needs to testify. I can hear Morel Cornwell. Everybody ought to teach a home Bible study. A home Bible study. And he cannot sing. A home Bible study. The men and the women and the girls and the boys. Everybody ought to teach a home Bible study. Because everybody can. Everybody can teach a home Bible study. You're not too stupid and you're not too ugly. The men and the women and the boys and the girls. Everybody ought to teach a home Bible study. How many of you are teaching Bible studies right now? Right now. Stand up if you're teaching a Bible study. Praise God. Now, how many of you have a chart under your bed or in your closet or in the trunk of your car? Or in your... And you are willing to teach a Bible study. You want to teach a Bible study. You're going to teach a Bible. No, come on, stand up. See, stay standing. And those of you that are going to teach a Bible study, you stand up too. Oh, this is looking better and better. I'm never going to teach a home Bible study. A home Bible study. Home Bible study. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to fire you up. You need to reach out to somebody. You need to touch somebody. You are called to be light and salt and a witness to a world that's dying without God. Lindsay, come help me. Somebody say praise God. Praise God. I'm gonna stop. We've got further to go and more to say. But let me just leave you with this. Throughout that Old Testament and into the New, if you follow the pneumatology or the theology of the Spirit all the way through, a lot of writers ascribe certain characteristics or attributes to this business of being the people of God, the chosen people of God. And there are transfer motifs or transfer experiences where the old man, the patriarch, lays his hand on Isaac's head. And then Isaac lays his hand on not Esau, but Jacob's head. It should have been Esau, but wherever that old man laid his hand, there was that spiritual transfer. And all of these people were filled with the Spirit. And they all were prophets. God told Abimelech, he said, you need to get Abraham to come pray for you. That man's a prophet. And if you don't, you're going to die. If you do, I'll heal you. And Moses' spirit moves on the 70. And Elijah pours out a double portion of his spirit upon Elisha. And so you have these transfer. And then the man Jesus Christ pours out his spirit on the 120. And that's been happening now for 2,000 years. And so we satisfy the criteria of having the spiritual transfer motif because we remember you should have been there when I prayed through. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet. What's the rest of that? Don't they look like the Supreme Court? Now rule thee. What say thee? From the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Felt the Spirit moving all over me. My God. So we've got a spiritual. Anybody here have the Holy Ghost? You glad of it? And then throughout that Old Testament into the New Testament, everywhere you find the people of God, the conduit of God, the one who bears the plan of God, you also find prophetic utterance. The patriarchs were prophets. The prophets were prophets. Saul was a prophet and prophesied. David was a prophet. If you've never read Psalms 22, you need to. David is a prophet. And then when you get down into the New Testament, they receive the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues and prophesy. Praise God. Do you know what you're doing when you pray in tongues? Quite often you don't have an idea about what you're saying, but God is speaking things through you about what's about to happen in this city, about what's taking place in His kingdom. There's a word of prophecy in you. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I talk in tongues and I prophesy. Well, praise God. You got the Holy Ghost tonight and spoke in tongues. Do you know that when you spoke in tongues, God was saying something through you? Something powerful. Something incredible. We don't know what he was saying because we didn't understand what you were saying. But God speaking through you and establishing things and setting things in motion and opening doors and pulling wide portals and pouring out anointings. There's no telling. He might have been speaking about your destiny in the kingdom of God. He might have been saying, this is an Esther in the house of God. Come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm telling you, there's destiny involved in it when you're praying in the Spirit. There's prophetic utterance. But the third part of this triad is vocational. It's vocational. It has to do with the work that you're going to do. Because God didn't just give you the Holy Ghost to sit and look pretty. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that you could be used of God. And he's going to use you and he's going to bless you. Who invited you to church? Your friends? Are they here? That's your friend? We won't hold that against you. No, we love Brooke too. We do. You invited her to church? Your family did. And she got the Holy Ghost. And she got baptized. You understand you're exactly what I'm preaching about tonight. You're doing exactly what we're talking about tonight. This is the purpose and the plan of God. That you be light and witness. And then God, did you give her the Holy Ghost? Nah. Did you wash her sins away? Can you do any of that? No, but I can bring her to the place where all that happens. I can tell her about it. I can say, come meet my friend. You've never had a friend like this. Come meet my God. Come meet my King. Come meet my Lord. The third part is vocational. Because everybody has a calling and a giftedness in their life. Everybody does. When they were building the tabernacle, the Spirit of God came on the artisans. And they crafted all of the silver and gold in the tabernacle, even though they had no knowledge about how to build that or how to do that. The Spirit of God moved on the judges, and they walked in wisdom and led Israel from under the heel of their oppressors. Spirit of God moved on men like Gideon and men like Samson, and they became something that they never were before. But God called them to do and to be. God's given you the Holy Ghost because there's a calling. If you think the calling of God is about a pulpit, you have no understanding of the kingdom of God. The calling of God is about an army. The calling of God is about a nation of priests. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation. God has called every one of us in the house today to be used of God. It is vocational. The Holy Ghost is working in you to do. You may be a musician. You may be a singer. You may be a witness. You may be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe a Bible study teacher. But everybody in this house, regardless of what we do, everybody in this house can be a witness. We can tell. You may not answer all the theological questions, but you can tell what God has done for you. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. In the New Testament account in the book of Acts chapter 6, the apostles had given birth to a huge revival. It was getting so big, it was a problem. And they wanted Peter and the apostles to go and serve soup to the elder ladies. And he said, we can't do that. We got to be given to prayer and the word of God. It's not that they were too good. They just had a calling and they had a specific vocational responsibility in the kingdom of God. So they said, you choose out among yourself seven brothers that are of good report and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Good report among the people. You see, all of those things, full of the Holy Ghost, believing God, and good report among the people, all of that is part of being effective in mission. That's why you got to be right with everybody around you. That's why you got to do this squeaky clean and absolutely yielded and given. They brought out seven. Philip, Stephen, Nicanor, they brought them out. And the word of God was increased. And there were miracles and revival was multiplied. And a number of the priests came and prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Because people got in harness and began to work the kingdom's business. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It sounds like work. It sounds like work. It is work. This is the third part of the description, the biblical description of those that are the people of God. Praise God. The next chapter we find Stephen down in Samaria. And revival breaks out in a neighborhood where nobody would have gone, but he went there. Praise God. Praise God. Go back to what you were doing before. Lift our hearts. Energize our spirits. Yeah. That feels much better. All right. Praise God. Touch somebody by and tell them you got a decision to make. You're either going to be the Sea of Galilee, full of life, where all the apostles came, where Jesus did all his works. Are you going to be the Dead Sea? Rancid, putrid, useless, void of life. You got a choice. What's the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea? Sea of Galilee has a place where the blessing comes in, and it's got a place where the blessing goes out. Dead Sea is low, and all the blessings come in. The Dead Sea is blessed, but it's dead. Because it doesn't have an outlet and it doesn't do anybody any good. Well, praise God. You know, one of the things God's going to do in the millennial, he's going to kick the end out of the Dead Sea. And he said there's going to be fishing at En-Gedi. That's a little town on the banks of the Dead Sea. Praise God. If you're not a soul winner and if you're not actively involved in a witness, you need to get down in this altar tonight and let God kick the end out of your lake and open up a way for you to have a ministry. You need to be a minister in the kingdom of God. You need to be used of God. It is the will of God. If you want the blessing, you've got to be a blesser. Come on down. Let's go. Church, come as families. Everybody come to the altar. If you come first, step up on the steps. Make room for those that are behind you. Partner, say, let's give God some praise. Let's magnify God in the house. Okay, I want you just for a moment or two, I want you to entertain the presence of God. And I want you to listen for what he would have you to do or be in this new year. In the way of harvest, in the way of service, in the way of witness. Something that you can be to be used of God. Just entertain his presence. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. It'll shock you. God will talk to you right now. I see some of you with tracks in your backpack. I see some of you stopping by and filling up your purse with tracks and cards tonight. Gotta have something to put in their hands. Gotta have something to put in their hands. Hallelujah. Some of you have a Facebook page and you've never witnessed to anybody on that Facebook. If you're going to be on that thing, be outrageous and overt apostolic. If you've got a profile of yourself and you've got all kind of, I love this song and I love this show and I love this stuff, you're not fully apostolic. You're not even playing like you are. You need to expunge everything on that thing that's not like God and not like an apostolic. Because you can't be effective in what I'm talking about tonight if you're not fully apostolic. You just can't. That's just living for God 101. You got to get that stuff straight. Then be used of God. Praise God. Praise God. I can see some of you knocking on a neighbor's door. Take them a cake. Snare them into a Bible study. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's the first full week of the new year. And it seemed interesting to me because we usually have a week of fasting and prayer, but I felt like it'd be good for us. This is a simple thing. This is not a difficult thing. Matter of fact, this doesn't even feel like fasting to me. But I was just reading in Daniel chapter 10, and he said, for him it was 21 days. We're only going to do it for five.